You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
This is, of course, the Dandy Warhols. This is one of my favourite deep cuts that Johnny Vari, ex-Drive host, showed me. It's Boys Are. Soon you'll hear a chat with me and Courtney Taylor-Taylor, who's, of course, the frontman of the Dandy Warhols, about their new record and their upcoming trip to Aotearoa, not for leisure, to play some shows. That will be at the Power Station on Monday, the 22nd of April, which is coming up real fast. You can get tickets from Ticketmaster. And I'd just like to give a colourful language warning in true rock star fashion for this interview.
How colourful are we talking?
Oh, we're talking colourful.
All right.
Got little ears.
Put your fingers in those ears.
Yes. But it's contextual. So enjoy, Boys Are.
Well, periodically, we set up some rules. We're going to make a record, this kind of record, you know. And we did it this time. We haven't done it for a while. We've been very, you know, kind of stream of consciousness, whatever. You know, one song is folk, and then one song is trying to sound like Fred Astaire, and then the next one sounds like I don't know, witch core or whatever. So this one, it was the job was every song has to start with a metal riff.
Right.
And, you know, and then they can wander off into anywhere they want. You know, they can do their own thing. Whatever shit we lay down in the studio, you know, you lay a lot of stuff down you don't use because you think it's a great idea and it sounds kind of neat. And then, you know, later you go, dude, it doesn't even need to be there, you know, let's get rid of it. And you try to lay down as much stuff as you can, particularly when you're experimenting in you know, far off lands that you've only, you know, done a few songs if that's of that style, or using that heavy of guitar distortion, or you know, slow tempos and heavy distortion, which there's a lot of on this record. So we, you know, like the I Will Never Stop Loving You, you know, that wandered off into like this kind of Nick Cave thing. You know, the obviously Danzig with Myself is very Pixies, and then we ended up getting Frank Black on it. And you know, the opening song, Doomsday Bells, just wanted, I remember hearing that that Dr. Dre was really into, he really loved Nirvana when they came out, and I remember thinking that, and I've had that in my mind for years. So when that riff, when Pete came in with that riff recorded, I wanted to get some Dr. Dre sounding old school Dre 2000 or the Chronic kind of era drum sounds and lay down that kind of beat and keep it like that style. So once we have the heavy riff, then the rest of the production can you know, develop and gestate into whatever it kind of seems to want or what it likes.
Yeah. Is that the same in terms of lyrically? Do you set out to write a song about a specific issue, or do you just kind of match words sound?
This one, what I did during COVID, I just started, you know, I smoke a lot of grass, I drink a lot of wine, and those are two amazing creative helpers. And so I just started recording, taking notes of when I had, you know, sentences and phrases that were loaded, and I wanted to, you know, I know I'll want this later. And so I had lots of notes to go through, and you know, Pete would have a riff and he would build it in his basement studio, just a skeletal kind of thing with the feel correct, and then bring it in. And I, you know, most of them I just went, oh my god, I know, I have it, here it is. Oh shit, okay, give me the mic, you know. You hit record, I'm just gonna start jamming. And some of them I just didn't, like Summer of Hate, I think I didn't have any lyrics. I just started singing. Real People was that too. I just started talking and blabbing for Real People. And those are hard because you can't really go back and get that vibe again. You really gotta get it all in one shot. Well, you know, in that half hour where you're feeling it brand new. And generally musicians and studio recording musicians and artists of all kind, when they are first faced with somebody else's piece of music or a movie or whatever, you know, their first reaction, like I always know, I'm not ever going to play anything for Anton Newcomb from the Jan Soundmaster. I'm never going to play for him my new stuff. Because all he does is he sits there and goes, you know what you should do? Oh my God, you know what you should do here? Right? So that's why it's very important to get it out and get it done that first time, because you are in a super revved up, excited state of mind when you hear something that you like for the first time. And that's kind of how they become songs. You know, Pete brought in a few more riffs than went on the record just because it never quite did that to me. It never wound me up to me. You go, you know what you should do? And then I can actually do it because it's my fucking band. So, a lot of it though was, most of them were lyrics that I had kept in my phone in the notes. Also, you know, I had learned, because during COVID, I was expected to, I was on the schedule to have a 30-second long song with a video completed to post every Friday during COVID. And sometimes it was, you know, Friday morning, I had to go in hungover and not feel like it, and then write a song. And it was only 30 seconds. So lyrics could just be mumbling about how much I cannot write a song today. I don't feel like it today. And that could be the lyrics, you know, so, you know, a couple times it was that. But I did learn how to force myself to write lyrics, you know.
Right.
I've never been that guy.
Do you engage at all with work that's citing you as they're making right now, or do you kind of stick to your contemporaries?
I spend a lot of time, you know, with other singer, guitar player kind of band guys in Portland, because a bunch have moved here over the decades, you know. So I've got Isaac from Modest Mouse, I've got James Mercer from The Shins, Broken Bells. Yeah, I mean, there's tons, but, you know, it was cool. Like, we were on tour a lot when Wet Leg was just breaking, so we got to hang out a lot in different countries on different continents with them. And, any bands that are just kind of open to a good time, it helps bands that drink, you know? Like, that helps. You know, have a sense of adventure and want to go do stupid shit. Or people who like to go to not only drink, but smoke pot and go to late night clubs where people play real cool music. And, you know, those are things, and you do that. Or, you know, just like, hey, there's a harbor cruise that only talks about death and as seafood in the Sydney Harbor. You want to go do that tomorrow, you know? So that's kind of, you know, you try to find interesting things to do. And it's really cool if it's a new band, you know, that is a really cool, fun thing. And, you know, develop a friendship and maybe a lasting one if their career lasts. Sometimes they don't. Most of the times they don't, sadly. We've seen so many wonderful friends just kind of like, what? You guys? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'll see you next time we're in London, you know?
Yeah. That's, I mean, tough industry, but all good bonding agents, I suppose. And you are coming to play on our shores very soon. What can audiences expect from the set?
God, you know, we generally have a couple songs from every record, and we're madly trying to learn the singles right now because we construct our songs like electronic music and then start peeling off the electronic stuff and doing actual performances over it. But we never really learned to do it, you know, to play guitar and sing these things at the same time. Those are two separate jobs in the studio. So that's what we're doing right now. I think we've got just the singles we're going to, but there's a couple more, you know, hope maybe between the American tour and the Australian tour, we will be able to add yet another or two more tracks. And then after Australia, we've got some time, a month or so, a few weeks, and then we're in South America. So hopefully in our time at home, and then, you know, who knows, like during sound check in the afternoon, if you're just on stage, nothing to do for an hour, half hour before sound check, you work on things like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll hopefully be accruing more tracks, and who knows, you know, there's a possibility that by the end of the year, we will be back in Australia for the summer festivals. And if that's the case, you know, we might be able to just show up and play the entire record, Bohemian Like You and Used to Be Friends or whatever.
Yeah.
Boys, and with Boys Better, you know. We'll see. We'll see how it all goes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.